to the Lord. There's also a couple of people that are looking to come here as well. So I just thankful to God for each and every one of you that thought it not robbery that you would press your way on a Wednesday night. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you and we honor you. We thank you for allowing for us to come into your presence once again. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing for us to be able to speak your word in the beauty of holiness. Lord God, I just thank you that we're not only hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. Speak to us now in this place in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. This evening's scripture is going to come from out of Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. And those of you that are at home should also see it on the screen. I just feel so good being back in the house of the Lord. It's time to re-engage. It's time to fellowship with one another. And so the verse goes as follows. Says, the night is nearly over and the day is near. So let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. From the subject tonight, walk in the light. Walk in the light. That verse of scripture really stood out to me because for many years, when we look at the verse, we oftentimes associate armor with, you know, the helmet of salvation, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the belt of truth, the sword of the spirit, the armor, you know, the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. All of those components really mean and alluded to what Paul was talking about when it says put on the whole armor of God so that you can withstand against the wiles of the devil. But when I saw this verse, it's almost like I found a quarter in the gutter. It was just something that really stood out to me, something that was really illuminating. And it says put on the armor of light, whereas we usually are accustomed to hearing put on the armor of God. It says put on the armor of light. And so let me give you a quick backstory to a little bit of this. And it was something that was on my mind and as I began to pin out my thoughts, and it's the following. Pure goodness is in the presence of God. God is representative in the scripture as light. Light is not really about brightness. It's about something that illuminates something or someone. So pure goodness in the presence of God is considered as the light. When Paul was on the road to Damascus in order to persecute Christians, he was blinded by the light of God. The light of God is not sun. Sun gives off light. The sun has heat. It has light. It's bright. But God is not the sun. And the sun is not God. So when we look at light, we have to think to ourselves, is light a specific thing? Well, biblically speaking, it represents God or the glory of God. But let's also give a contrast to that, and that is darkness. Pure evil, on the other hand, is what we would call the absence of God. So in the presence of God, it's considered as light. But in the absence of God, it is also considered as darkness. There was once a holy being who, like all God's creation, was granted the gift of free will. You might have heard of him. His name was the devil, or his title or his character was like a devil. His name was Satan, Beelzebub, Lucifer, son of the morning. But unfortunately, this entity, this once perfect angel, allowed for his pride to drive his desire to experience what it was like to exist without God and produce his own dark light or self-illuminated reality. Strong delusion is something that is really serious when it comes to being in darkness, because you could think that everything is okay when in reality it is not. And as many of you know, this devil, Satan, Lucifer, the son of the morning, Beelzebub, the lord of the flies, he was excommunicated from the presence of God and for eons grew accustomed to being in darkness. So much so until he became the prince of it. And I'm not talking about Ozzy Osbourne, I'm talking about the devil himself. One day he saw the glory of man and sought to distort mankind by offering his vision of the future to Adam, which included both man and woman before the fall, as they were not separated in spirit or voice, but in physical form. Let me give you a picture of this. Eve was not her name until after the fall. Okay. And like the snake in the grass, the evil one despised God so much that he tempted the first power couple with the need to know what was it like to have life on the other side in darkness and what that was all about. Basically, to know both good and evil without wisdom, proper context. That's what you see today in the world. You see post-modern relativism. It's my truth as opposed to your truth. Everything is an opinion. So if everything is an opinion and everything is either my truth or your truth or sincerely held beliefs, then how can we believe anyone is telling the truth? Or how can we believe anyone at all? So the truth of the matter is, to know both good and evil takes wisdom. And God was the only one who could understand what it's like when individuals are in his presence and also when individuals are not in his presence. Being in the presence of God means that you are in the light. Being outside of the presence of God means that you are in darkness. And so, that's what Adam and Eve did. They sought to control their own world and to know what it was like to be with or in darkness. They wanted to know what it was like not only to be in the light and be with God or good in the light, they also wanted to know what it was like to be without him in evil or in darkness. This really begins to stand out to me quite a bit because it leads me to think about quite a few thoughts. And so let's go to the scriptures and let's turn to this very quickly. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. This is also in the CSB version. And it says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." So let's stop right there and let's split those two in half. So the very first half, it says, "You are the light of the world." So who is the audience here? It is the disciples. These are to the hearers themselves. You are the light of the world, the child of God, the body of Christ. So let's go back to the definition of what darkness is. Darkness is the absence of the presence of God. Light is in the presence of God. The glory of God is representative of light. Absence of the glory of God or being in the presence of the devil is considered as darkness. There is no in between. There is no sunset. Now, we may have seen sunsets on the beach, but the sun did not decrease its brightness. It just went from out of view. Okay. So when you are hiding yourself, pushing yourself away from the things of God, it's almost as if it is a sunset. You're no longer concerned about being under the eyes of God. You clothe yourselves like Adam and Eve did, putting nakedness and seeing themselves as being ashamed, while in reality, they put a band of fig leaves over themselves because they were trying to cloak themselves, not in light, but in darkness. When the word of God is preached in the house of the Lord, it represents light. That's the reason why your cousin them, Ray Ray and Pookie and them, when you try to bring them to church and they ain't been to church in a long period of time and they ain't ready to go to church, they not really consider the things of God. It's really like pulling teeth because it's almost as if they are, I don't want to be in God's light. Because why in the world would you want to go to a place that tells you or illuminates your acts of darkness? It's like going into a room, a dark room, early in the morning. I don't know where you lived at, but when I was growing up, we walked, and my mom used to clean the house like no other, but we did not have screens to our house on every single window. We had a screen door, but all of the windows were just chipped paint, and we would slide the window up and slide the window down. And every time we slide it down, a couple more pieces of paint would chip off. And so in the middle of the night, in the kitchen, especially if we left the door open or to the backyard, then you would see a couple of roaches in darkness. And then when you flip that light switch, they would scatter because they knew that this is not the familiar environment. Roaches and things of darkness are nocturnal things, are specialists of being able to move around in darkness. So you have to ask yourself, when it comes to the position of your soul, are you nocturnal? Or do you want to be in the presence of the one that is eternal? Kind of reminds me of the song that was sung so many years ago. Walk in the light, beautiful light, shine all around us by day and by night. And then it would go on to say, Jesus is the light of the world. Woo, walk in the light, beautiful light. Shine. It would go on and on. I hear that in the Baptist church. And I used to think it was so funny years ago, but it was really true. Because you're walking in the presence of God. In other words, the Lord is governing your life. Again, repeating Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, it says, you are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. So the very first part, notice the audience. He's talking to you. But then he uses a parable, an illustration of a deeper truth with the next sentence. And it says, a city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, are you a city? No. But it's giving an example that if you see a city on the hill, it is within view of everyone. If you go to a mountain can be several miles away, like Mount Kilimanjaro or Mount Everest. Or if you go to FAMU, they always talk about at that university, it's renowned because it's the university sits on one of the seven hills in Tallahassee, because Tallahassee is extremely hilly. There's hills and valleys in Tallahassee. And so when you see a mountain, and if you were to put a house on the top of that mountain, you actually would be able to view it from a very great distance. So a city that would be on a hill cannot be hidden. It is exposed for the world to see. It's not in a park, it's not in darkness, it's not hidden away. It's something for the world to see in every direction. In every direction. And so as a child of God, so too, when your light shines, you are not hidden. Your views are not hidden. Someone's going to find out that you don't believe everything that the world believes about its value system. You may try to conceal it, but maybe it'll come out in your facial expressions or in a comment on Facebook, a private conversation with a colleague, which you may have written down, or maybe even deafening silence when everyone else is putting or changing their frame on Facebook to look like XYZ color, yours is still the same. Light. Darkness. And then the verse goes on and begins to transition a little bit. It says, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. So he goes to the point to say, hey, you are the light, but I also want you to understand what else I am saying. Number one, you're not going to be hidden. You're there for the world to see. Number two, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Because if you turn a light on and put it up under a basket, guess what? You're going to start a fire. And it's actually going to be even more of a light. Or really, is that the case? Well, one thing that I know is that light or smoke or fire, rather, needs oxygen in order for the flame to keep going. And if you're trying to put something out, you cover it up. So when the child of God is consistently inside of darkness, the light begins to get snuffed out because it can't breathe. Now, in the natural world, fire needs oxygen in order for it to grow. In the spiritual world, the child of God needs to walk in the light, and its breath of life is the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Do you see the parallelism between the two? So it does not need to be up under a basket, hidden, or to have its breath knocked out so that the light will no longer shine. Jesus goes on to say, it gives a contrast here, but rather on a lampstand. In other words, needs to be on the lampstand. Now, what is it so unique about a lampstand? We have lampstands out in the foyer of our church. And the one thing about a lampstand is that it is easily distinguishable. It is above certain other lamps that we may have in the facility, even above certain individuals that may walk by, certain children. It is there so that it can be closer to its source, to emulate the sun just in a smaller scale. So a lampstand has really two parts, the light itself and then its foundation. So you are seen as a light, but what is your lampstand? Your lampstand is representative of your foundational beliefs in the things of Scripture through the person of Jesus Christ. So in the same way, Jesus goes on to say, let your light shine before others, just like a lampstand in the foyer, just like the lights that we may have around the building. These are noticeable. Inside of the sanctuary, even on this evening, we have a contrast between light and darkness. And the things that are illuminated grab your attention. If we were just in darkness, it would be very hard to concentrate. It would be very hard to walk around. Matter of fact, it would actually bring on feelings of anxiety and distress because you can't find your way. So it is in the natural, it's the same thing in the spirit. When people are in darkness, they really can't find their way out. They're looking for something, but they won't be able to detect where it is. So you can have very bright pictures on Facebook, and you can have your face illuminated. You can even get your teeth you can even get your teeth brightened at the doctor's office for $700, but you can still have darkness and walk in darkness. Has nothing to do with the pigment of your skin, even though society tried to push that several years ago. It has nothing to do with what you look like and how you sound. No, it all has to do with the position of your heart and the darkness of your soul, or the light hardenedness of your soul. The verse goes on to say, it gives light for all who are in the house. Look at that. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So this also lets others know, and the verse does not distinguish whether or not the people who are looking upon you are saved or not. If anything, they're going to give glory to your God. My, you guys just did a great job with this specific project as you begin to bless the community. Man, you really spoke to my soul. I was really feeling down and out. And I'm glad that you slipped into my DMs for the right reasons. Man, sister, I'm just so happy that you spoke to me over lunch today. I mean, you really brought a light into my life. I put a nice little graphic on Facebook a couple of days ago from one of the comics that I really like, and it's The Strange Planet. And the graphic in each one of the frames really illustrated one of the beings or one of the characters that was looking like this and looking kind of mean. It was in a bad mood, right? And the person that, the other being that came in was looking at him and basically saying, you know, really, in paraphrasing here, what's wrong with you? And it says, I'm not feeling so good. I'm in a bad mood. And then the next frame was like, the person had enough maturity, the being had enough maturity to say, you know what? It's not you that's made me upset. I just am not feeling myself today. And then the other being, funny enough, would say, well, I know that I didn't make you mad. And he was like, why? The other character was like, because I'm a beacon of joy. Now, what is a beacon? A beacon is something that flashes really bright, beacon of joy, like a beacon of light, like a lighthouse that is on a hill during stormy seas and the ship is trying to sail up to the seashore and it's really trying to find out, you know, what's going on? Oh yeah, that's the graphic right there. Look at that, negative disposition. What's wrong with you with your mad face? Turn that frown upside down. But it says, is it obvious? The character goes on to say yes, and then it says, is there a cause? What's wrong? And it says, unknown. I don't know why I'm feeling. This is, that second frame is like the example of feeling some kind of way. You can't quite put your finger on it. You just know that you ain't happy. And then the third frame says, it is not you. Now that's really good because this is an actual couple. They look alike, but it's male and female. Let me just help y'all with that very quickly. All right, these are aliens. And the author is Nathan Pyle, who is a Christian believer. And he does all these cartoons. Come on now, just letting y'all know. Have to make it clear. But it goes on and says something mature. It says, you know what, babe, it's not you. I just am in a bad mood. Got a bad email, got a bad text message. And then the other person said, I had not suspected myself. In other words, I know it ain't me. I could hear Lady Martin in the back of my ears right now. I said, I know I didn't do nothing wrong. But then finally it says, I'm a beacon of joy. And the other one is like, you are truly. Now sometimes in that last frame that makes you sick, but eventually, like what my wife would do over the years is that she would give me a piece of carrot cake to lighten the mood or some snack cakes. And most of the time it would work. Sometimes I would try to hold out, but other times it would not be very good for me. A beacon of joy, a beacon of light. Let's go on to the next verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And it says as follows, says, for you were once darkness. Talk about the condition of an individual's soul. This is Paul talking in his letter to the Ephesians. But now you are in the light of the Lord. Live as the children in God's glory. Live as if you are walking in the presence of God. This is the distinguishing element, right? There's always going to be a tussle with the forces of darkness and God's glory. Good and evil. Evil is attractive to the one that has darkness on the inside of their soul. But goodness is attractive to the one that has light on the inside of their soul. I do not get entertained by watching horror movies or things that are filled with a lot of spiritual darkness, because there's a deep spiritual element behind a lot of horror movies. So I have not watched them. Ever since Freddy Krueger, back in the day, Friday the 13th, as soon as I saw that thing come up out of the water, I was like, I'm never watching this again. I did not sneak and try to watch none of those movies. I saw Chucky, Freddy Krueger, and Friday the 13th, and after that, I was done. I haven't seen It, The Conjuring, none of those things, because it disturbs my soul. And I firmly believe that we're vessels, and you reflect, or you behold, or whatever you behold, you become. So when you watch a lot of that stuff, it begins to get down into your spirit, and then you start getting attracted to it. And then the way that the human mind works is that whatever you watch right before you go to bed rolls around in your brain at least 8 times. I didn't even know that that person even had the capacity to even do that. But they were sowing seeds, and that's exactly what the devil does. You think that God is the only farmer? No. The devil is a farmer, too. He always tries to emulate God's, but it's always a twist. It's like a monkey's paw. Ever heard of monkey's paw before? The monkey's paw is like when you get a wish from a demonic being, and that's like some of the underpinnings of what Saul actually went through, where you get a wish granted by a demonic being, and it seems like it was supposed to be something good, but eventually it actually comes around, and there's a high cost that is paid, a cost so high until it's almost not even worth getting the wish granted in the first place. Monkey's paw. And that is exactly how the devil blesses his children with monkey's paws. His objective is to take your soul. Is there anything that's worth more than that? No. So again, we need to understand that without light, the universe will be in a state of chaos, pandemonium, and total disorder. That is why he who is light is made of darkness. That is why he who is light made light of darkness. There's a separation of the two. So I always ask people this from a scientific standpoint. Which one is actually a thing, darkness or light? If we turn off, can you turn darkness off? Or do you turn a light off? So darkness is merely the absence of light. That's all that it is. Turn the lights off, it's darkness. Turn the lights on, it's light. So the light is the thing that is the visible thing. It is the thing that is tangible. It is the thing that carries with it power behind it. But darkness has no power at all. It's just overwhelming. And for those of us that try to walk in the light, if we stay in darkness too long, we will lose our way. So let's look at some of the dynamics of conquering darkness. I work with this oftentimes with my children. I say, hey, you don't need to watch those things. You don't need to have certain types of posters that have certain types of monsters on them. It may seem like it's so facetious, right? It's kind of like the approach that if you did watch scary movies and things like that, you always know that there's a couple of truths. Number one, the black man always gets killed first. That's horrible, isn't it? No matter what era, even in the 2020s, it's still the case. And then number two, the people always lack spiritual discernment. We're going to make sure that we go into the darkest area of the forest in order to seek shelter because our car blew a tire. So we're going to see, I remember on one of the commercials, like, la, 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 la. Yeah, let's go there. With the old man that has a whole bunch of pitchforks and saws and all this other stuff like that and dead pig heads in the backyard. And it's like, oh, maybe they're just a butcher. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I have no spiritual discernment. And see, the thing about it is that oftentimes those things illustrate a deeper truth. Because you just think that, ain't nothing to that. It's just negative thoughts and positive thoughts. That sounds so secular. But we can't just say, there's nothing to that. There is something to it. It is. So light is a necessity. It's necessary. You have to have that in order to conquer darkness. Also, another great dynamic about conquering darkness is that light is fast. Faster than a speeding bullet, more power than a locomotive, can leap across buildings in a single bound. Talk about Superman. No, that sounds great. But the speed of light, I forgot how many seconds it takes for light to appear in the person's eyes, but it's in the milliseconds. That's how fast it is. How fast did God rescue you? Or the numerous times that God rescued you. See, we like to stay in the darkness, but God rescued us very quickly. He changed our heart instantly. It wasn't gradual. He wasn't like, okay, well, maybe I'll save you, maybe I won't. No, when he saves you then once and for all. So light is fast. It illuminates. It changed the entire dynamic of the entire atmosphere. Things stay hidden in the darkness. Any of the young people will tell you, one of the main reasons why they like the teen area without any lights is because they could stay hidden. And many of us were the same way. We sat in the back of the classroom, at the top of the bleachers, always in the corner because we were trying to hide away. Because most of the time, we were trying to feel on somebody or doing bad stuff in darkness because we did not want to be seen. Have you ever gone to a club where all of the lights are on? I guarantee you probably wouldn't have talked to half of the people that were in there. Because everybody looks good in the darkness, or at least it seems so. I could guarantee you if you want to see revenue drop for any nightclub, look at that. Any dark club, turn on all the lights. Teddy Pendergrass said, turn off the lights and light a candle. Because many of us feel comfortable in those spaces. Because if we were getting ready to do something nasty, we don't want everybody to see. So light is fast, it's quick. But darkness is slow. It takes time. It overwhelms and infects. Also, light is a weapon. It blew me away to see that light is a form of armor. Not just the armor of God, but the armor of light. So you need both. You can't just have one. You can't just have the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the feet shod with the preparation of gospel. You can't just have the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. You can't just have those alone. You also have to have the armor of light. One of them is things that you put on. The other one is something that is placed upon you. The first category is what you put on so that you can protect yourself against the wiles of the devil. But the light is not something that comes from you. It's something that placed on you. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit. Speak to me, Holy Spirit. Walk in the light. Walk in the armor of God, the armor of light. It shines all around you. So if I have light all around me, that means that darkness is really not going to have too many opportunities in order to be able to penetrate. Those are the dynamics of conquering darkness. And then there's the dynamics of representing Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16, that he is the light of the world, the light of our works, the light of our walk, the light of our witness. The light of our works. In other words, you can't just be a Christian and then have no fruit. Whatever the fruit is, what the root is. You can know them. You can know who is laboring among you by the works that they do. Or else you're a fig tree, ineffective. I'm not going to have any parts with you because you're not really going to do anything. There's one thing that God does not like, and that is someone that he saved but is lazy, unfruitful. You have everything that you need. You have the soil. You have the atmosphere. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, the fig tree was in a position to bloom. He was coming expecting something because it had the light, it had the right type of soil, it had rain. All the ingredients that it took in order for it to grow properly, but it did not. And so he just used that as an example of our own lives. You could be in a good church, no scandals, no secrets. No Facebook post from back in 2010 that has a whole bunch of ratchet stuff from Pastor Mark. Because I know folks search. And you can still be unfruitful. It's like being in a house with dynamic parents or being at a job with a revolutionary thinking boss. And you have all the talent in the world, but you never get promoted. What's wrong? It's not the environment. It's not those that are over you. It has something to do with you. So we want our works to be illuminated. We also want, because we are having a relationship with Christ, we also want our walk to be illuminated. Now, a walk is not literal like this. No. Walk in the biblical sense is your character, who you are, wherever you go, not only in the light, but also in darkness. You can be in both at the same time. It's like a flashlight in the sun. When you turn a flashlight on, when it's sunny outside, everything is congruent with each other. There is no contradiction. And so when you're in the presence of God, it's a wonderful situation. When you're saved, it's a wonderful situation. But every now and then, you're going to be around individuals that are walking in darkness. So you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. Your life is going to be very different from someone else. I remember when I was young and in high school, I would run to a fight as opposed to staying away from a fight. I would try to see who's getting their brains beat out and see if I could get a lick in too, as opposed to maybe rushing in to maybe helping somebody. And little did I know, in the scripture it talks about that God, when he looks at different abominations and things that he hates, and one of the things that he hates is those that rush to shed innocent blood. Enjoy it. I didn't know that was in there. I wasn't saved. I didn't care what was in there. It didn't matter to me. But then when it was illuminated, when I got saved, when the light was turned on, then it made a lot of sense to me. That's why the light of our witness is so important. So when you tell people about Jesus Christ, it also sticks out like a sore thumb. What you do sticks out like a sore thumb. Who you are sticks out like a sore thumb. And what you say and how you testify about God sticks out like a sore thumb. I do not only talk about God on Sunday mornings or on a Wednesday night. I do not just put foolishness on Facebook only about sports, only about cartoons and toys. I get in there and I shine my light in the form of debate, because this world is a wicked generation and they have a lot of there's a lot of passive Christians that do not want to engage the culture. And I understand that you're not supposed to cast your pearls before swine-minded people, but most of the time when I'm a witness, it's to strengthen those that witness has diminished because they've been in darkness too long. It's like a general that finds his troops that have been beaten after waves and waves of battle, so that you can motivate them to rally, to come together so that they can push forward and push on. Then there's the dynamics of time consciousness. Oh my goodness. There's a time of deep darkness. We're in that period even right now. When you look at the graphic that you see it right on there on the screen, you have a young woman who has the Word of God in her hands. That's like her flashlight, the beacon. And that word is not only supposed to be in her hand, but it's also in her heart. But she's also beholding a city, a great city that is filled with darkness. She sticks out like a sore thumb, but she's ready to embark upon the journey because she wants to lead individuals to the greater light. And that is God himself. Did you not know that that's when God created in creation, there was greater lights and lesser lights? The greater lights are like the sun and the moon. The lesser lights are the stars. So there's a greater and a lesser. A moon does not give off its own light. It only reflects the one that is greater. We are the lights of the world, not because of our own light, but because of the one that is greater. In scripture, they call God the Father of lights. Not these lights, that's literal. Can't look at the scripture only literal. You have to have spiritual lenses. It says we are the Father, he is the Father of lights. That means he is our Father. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I don't want to offend anybody, because you know not everybody believes as I do. You're going to let a baby walk into the middle of the road to get ran over by a car. You know you're going to stop heaven and earth in order for that to not happen. And there's people's souls who are full grown in darkness but are infants in regards to the things of God. You're going to let them walk their way to hell without even any form of intervention at all? No, certainly not, certainly not. I give people things to consider. And people rage and rave at me on a regular basis on Facebook when I get in my prophetic moods and get in my evangelistic tone. But I'm always mindful that if somebody loves it, if somebody is encouraged by it, if someone sends me a friend request because they saw me battling against the forces of darkness, that I'm using the platform, the medium, our modern times in order to do that, then so be it. It's also a time of urgency. It's also displayed in Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The time is now. Light is quick. It's speedy. It illuminates things very quickly. So we have to have a sense of urgency when it comes to shining our light before men, to tell them about Jesus Christ, to show our character, so that we won't have a double life. There's one life that you have when you're in the pulpit and then another life when you're at home. My kids know that I love God and I'm crazy in front of everybody and behind closed doors. I'm going to make a mind in front of everybody and I'm going to make a mind behind closed doors. And when they have their memories, when I'm gray and old, they're going to have memories of Daddy preaching the gospel, but I also made the mind at the house too. Same person in front of everybody, same person behind closed doors. And that their daddy was saved. Urgency. The time is now. And so as I conclude, the greater light, who is the light? We need to know that is God. He made us through him because he saved us. So this present darkness in a dark world could be penetrated by the light of the children of light. This is our Christian purpose. This is our Christian charge. So even as I conclude, we need to understand that certain revelations like this are very important. Remember the song, "Walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk in God's glory, God's beautiful glory. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Dewdrops just like the dew in the morning, gently rest against my heart." The dewdrops, God's glory, his grace, it's gentle. It's there to nourish you, to save you from the heat of this world. It's raining heavily outside even right now. And even in our church, sometimes we have to be careful because sometimes the water may come on the inside here. But every now and then, I don't really shun that so much because I just really think of it as God's glory coming in the midst of this place. This place will never go dry. And prayerfully, this place will never go dry. No, that's just a leap, Pastor Martin. Hey, you can go into the forest at that dark house. La, 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 la. And just say, hey, that's just a house that I could get away from, you know, the rain because it's raining outside. Or you can have spiritual discernment because everything that covers you is not for you. Walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus is the light of the world. So child of God, please remember that because you are saved, you are the lesser light. Not because of what you give off, but because of he who lives on the inside of you. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you. We bless you and we honor you. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for showering your blessings down upon us at this very time, at this very hour. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Touch us now. Help us now. Eliminate those that are walking in darkness, that cannot find their way, that continue to go to places that have the same result, the same answer. But Lord God, you're the one who has all of the answers. You know how to speak to men's souls, to bring them out of darkness and take them into the marvelous light. Let them understand the beauty of the gospel, who Jesus is and what he came to do. Who is he? He is God. What did he come to do? To save those that are lost. And as long as you believe in Jesus Christ and that he rose from the dead on the third day and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, then you will be saved. No religion, no fancy cliches, just believe. Help your people to believe and help those that are not your people as of yet to believe. Speak to them now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, I hope and pray that you were able to enjoy the message on this blessed evening. If you have any type of questions, you can always post them inside of the chat online. If you have any questions inside of the sanctuary this evening, this is a great time for you to be able to ask. I'm trying to be very disciplined in my time at the podium to allow for questions, so I want to try to keep teaching at about 45 minutes or less, and I want to give the rest of the time so that we can answer questions that is about the topic on tonight, or even if you have a wild card question, like, where did the dinosaurs go? There's an answer for that as well. But, seriously speaking, if you have any questions in the sanctuary tonight, I'm open. Y'all good? Jermaine, you smiling hard. You got something? Dwan, you had something? I thought I saw you do something. Oh, you just doing your eye? Okay, I'm just trying to keep myself up, Pastor Martin. Been a long day, boss. But I love you, though. Just a couple of quick announcements. Jamar, are we clear? Are there any questions? No questions so far? All right. See, this is so crazy when it's so funny how, like, sometimes I don't talk about the congregation here, but it's so funny how oftentimes when people talk about churches and things like that, they always wonder, you know, I'll never get a chance to ask the preacher no questions. He just whisks right out of the back door. Well, here I be. Here I go. If you got questions, let's go ahead and give some answers. And what I found out is that oftentimes people like to complain even though they're in the face of answers. And so, again, if you have any questions, you can always email me at pastor@divinetruthcc.org, put it inside the chat, or you could come see me face to face. I'll be glad to fellowship with you one another. God bless you. Good night. Oh, and another thing, announcements. First announcement, of course, this weekend at 10:30 a.m., we will be having our services here in the sanctuary. I would love to see your face in the place. We start at that time. We also have our core meeting for our internal people. That starts at 9:30 a.m. as well. We had a wonderful and glorious time last week, and we're also looking forward to see what God is doing after that. Also, in the next couple of weeks, we have two major events that's coming up this year. The very first one is July the 24th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. right here in the front of our facility in the parking lot all the way to the grass and back. We're going to be having, watch this, the back to school bass. Thank you, Deacon Penn, so much. So we will be there. Let me go ahead and put on my peepers. Can y'all see that? Because I can barely see it myself. So keep it on the graphic, Deacon Penn, so I can read it to him. So July the 24th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., located at 350 Anchor Road, Suite 1050 in Castleberry, Florida, 32707. We will be giving away 1,000 book bags and school supplies, first come, first serve basis. We will also be giving away and providing free haircuts by appointment only. Those tickets are going fast, and so if you're interested in that, please make sure that you contact us, and we will put out the link for those haircuts in the week to come. There will be outdoor entertainment. We will get a saved DJ. Someone say saved DJ. We're going to get a saved DJ. and I know quite a few of them, so I'm not putting anybody out there. I'm just saying. So we'll have a saved DJ. We're going to try to get bounce houses and more. The main thing is that we're going to have a lot of fun. We are have thought this out well. We're going to have our tents outside so that it will protect the book bag, so that you just get them and then be on about your way. The reason why we're doing it so early is because we don't want to compete with the crunch line. We don't like to do things at the last minute. It's almost like going into Walmart the day before you're supposed to go to school. It's like a madhouse. We want this to be a pleasant free shopping experience for you, all right? So please make sure that you come out for that. The sponsors that you see right there at the bottom of the screen are those that actually wanted to chip in and help us. So this is a major deal. This is the third year that we have done this. Even in the midst of the pandemic, we have done this, but this will be the biggest one. We've never given away 1,000 book bags before, but this will be the very first time. So our sponsors, Wawa, Publix, Walmart, Starbucks, the Seminole County Sheriff's Department, as well as Target, and then the host of it all, which will be Divine Truth Christian Center. If you are looking to volunteer, please contact us. Please send us an email or contact us through our Facebook page. We need all hands on deck so that we can serve our community. The next event that's coming up after that is our intensity retreat. I think we're up to almost like 15 to 20 people so far, including sons. And so I'm just go ahead and put a good little forerunner out there. Deacon Lewis has already paid up for this. Brothers, make sure that you put out your $50 for yourself as well as any kids that you are bringing with you ahead of time. We have a soft deadline of this Sunday, but I need to have everything in by the end of the first week in July. We want to make sure that all of the dollars are sent down there to the rodeo so that we can have us a good time, get a chance to see 3,000 pounds of beef throw people aimlessly off of their backs. It's going to be absolutely a ball. We get a chance to see mutton busting. There's zip lining that's also out there. There will be fishing, airboat rides. So the $50 is going to go towards food, but also towards different types of activities. And so Lady Martin has been so gracious to help me because I was helpless. I couldn't do it myself, to try to get all of these activities in a good format so that we'll know what to do or what we could do while we get there, all right? It's too hot to sleep, so you ain't gonna be able to sleep the entire time. You're always gonna have creepy crawlies all on you. So we're gonna show you how to survive out there at least for one day. So it goes from July the 30th, July the 31st into August the 1st. So we'll be out there July the 30th that night. We'll pull out from the church. We'll be there all day Saturday, and then we will come back early Sunday morning so that we can be here for church. Now, one thing that I have to make a promise about is that all the men will take baths before they get on the van. Last time we did it, we did not. We were still happy, though. But this time, we want our wives and those that are in service with us to not partake of such unpleasantries, right? So we're going to make sure that we're all nice and clean before we come back. We're going to camp outside. We're going to cook outside. And we're also going to have access to the grounds that are there. Several acres that are there. It's going to be a great endeavor. So hopefully you could come out for that. All hearts and minds clear. Did I miss anything, Deacon Penn? Did I miss anything for anyone else? Last but not least, another thing when it comes to Back to School Bash, if you are a vendor that is interested, we are only going to maybe take, like, open up a slot for maybe one or two vendors outside of what has been discussed. Please contact us. And for a small donation, which proceeds will go towards the Back to School Bash event, you can also participate in that event. It's going to be all several hundreds of people that are going to be coming throughout the city and beyond in the Metro Orlando area that will be hitting that event. We want to feed people. We also want to be able to serve individuals at that moment in time. You can also make some contacts as well. And so if you have a desire to do that, you can contact us at the church, and you can speak to Sister Latoya Lewis or to Sister Akile Hughes. God bless you. Good night. Be blessed.